time off terribly early this morning. This is Jason Nevro. You're listening to Cohen Meanderer. I woke up this morning thinking radio thoughts. So that's probably going to be the title of this particular one is radio thoughts. And since I was a kid, we were always into radio. My brother and I used to collect music for broadcast. I don't know if I was more the broadcaster than he was, but I don't remember. Anyway, always interested in getting out there, getting heard. Maybe that's where these coming on to 20 years of recordings comes from. So right now I'm listening to our local AM radio station in Tucumcari. When I came up with the original idea of Lofornia, it was a concept based around the KTNM, which is the local AM radio station, broadcast range. I think it's off of Tucumcari Mountain. And, well, you know, range is interesting because it's affected by certain practicalities. Out here it has a lot to do with terrain. So, of course, over time, the thoughts came. From what you would be broadcasting. And the answer ends up being liberty. This is the thing that matters the most, along with the gospel. So, very much becomes the whole idea of what do you put out there? And the idea is essentially to put out their LDS-based things. Now, I'm not even to Quay yet, and it's already dying. If you can hear it at all, the actual FCC license says that it's 10,000 watts full power around the clock. 1,400 is... It has its broadcast range here. There isn't going to be a lot of interference with 1400. But let me tell you, I haven't even got to Quay, and I've already lost the signal, which is very, 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 very sad. Of course, modern vehicles aren't interested in, trying to get AM. It's kind of a latch on. It isn't really something all that great. So, I mean, I can't hear it at all. Very sad. I don't know if they're operating at reduced efficiencies or what's going on. It's really supposed to be, cover basically Quay County and everything in a circle around Tucumcari. Well, that's just sad. You can kind of hear it in the background. But yeah, this is really sad. Of course, I think the orientation of the station is really meant to go out the other side of Tucumcari Mountain. This side over here is not interesting, the direction I'm going toward Clovis and Kennan Air Force Base. Anyway, so that's kind of where we stand right there. I'm up on the early side of things, I tell you. It's not even 5:30 yet. And usually I try to make a point to be out of town by 6. So I'm a half an hour early. So anyway, that's very disheartening. I had hoped that it would come in pretty clear and all the way to Ragland at least. I think once you get back on the cap, there's really not much to, you know, really not much to hear. Practical range, radiated range, really bad. At least going south. So, there it is. On that particular score, I can't hear a darn thing now. Got the thing turned up all the way. I don't know if we need to, can I go down one step? Oop. Can't even be picked up from the noise. But then again, I don't think this is a particularly, where is my antenna? There used to be an antenna here. Maybe I've got, oh no, there it is. Okay. It's nothing. Let's see if we can get some of the, oop. Wow. My thing isn't working very well. Too digital for my tastes. Wow. This thing is just not responding to anything. Is it because the sensors because it's so dirty? Sensors are so bad on this radio. Ah, I prefer a dial. Wow. Well, forget that. So, yeah, when my brother and I were kids, I think Joe was just about the music. We recorded a lot of our music off of the radio station, but then we put them on tapes to take with us. You know, when Joe got his car, that was a thing. And then what's the other kind of another interesting idea? And then we would, my first things were using an intercom system so you could listen to the stuff off of that. Our dad bought us, he had an old console stereo that I think was just something that he had gotten from his parents or somewhere. And he had rigged it, with an input jack and, a pretty good tape deck. And so it was basically rigged so that in between the input and the output of like the radio station, you could tune it for lack of a better term, the unamplified feed off of the radio would go to the, to this beige strapped on port that Dad rigged. And that hooked up to the tape deck. Of course, the output from the tape deck, you patched back down into the amplifier and out to the speakers. This was a feature of my brother Joe's room, when we lived, near Shallowwater, Texas. And, was going to school there, both of us. And I still drive to shallow water. Shallow water is the turnoff to get to the temple from where we are, to get to the temple in Lubbock. Although I don't tend to go to the temple in Lubbock in preference to going to the temple in Albuquerque, which is coming up. I think this Saturday, Lisa and I are going off to Albuquerque, which just reminds me, she was planning on making the weekly trip into Clovis for shopping, and it's like, I need to call her later and figure out what our plans are. Although, you know what, I'm not immediately thinking that it was going to be this Saturday. It might be a further Saturday. So I'm not sure. Anyway, this is enough Sir Joga is enamored of broadcasting as perhaps I did. Although, we kind of rigged something along those lines. We styled ourselves KROC, K Rock, and because we were into rock and roll. And I don't know if that was my thing or if that was his thing. I think it was more my thing, honestly. And he didn't get on to me too bad about going into his bedroom and working this stuff because he had other things going on, honestly. Joe quickly got into cars, and in fact, he kind of still is into cars, so that's kind of his thing. All right, we're up here at Raglan. Let's see. This is a terrible radio. No, forget it. I can't get the darn tuner up. Wait a minute, it's on a preset. Let's do it that way. Silly me. AM presets. I guess you can kind of tell that there's some kind of accident. There's nothing up here. Nothing. Zero. Okay, well, that's it, man. There's nothing else to really say about it. Okay. Get out of that. No point. So, gee whiz. Anyway, so, you know, I think it's more something I got into. But we had a whole bunch of tapes. I think it got up eventually into the, Joe and I did it together into the teens, and I think I eventually got close to 30 tapes with all the, you know, with all the latest music. Of course, we always had a cassette decks in our cars. I think I eventually stopped making the tapes before I even got a car and a tape deck for it. But I think I pretty much wore out those tapes, old magnetic cassette tapes. Anyway, so all that being said, I woke up with radio thoughts this morning and about what could be done. I know AM radio is kind of on the outs, and everybody says, oh, we should just get rid of them. But there's a bunch of legislation trying to keep it going. AM radio is kind of the bastion of conservative talk. I'm not a conservative. I'm a classical liberal, tending toward libertarian. And, I'm definitely Jeffersonian, so, you know, it's like, just leave people alone. Don't write too many rules. It seems like there's so many rules now that almost everybody in their daily life is a scofflaw. You almost have to be. There's just certain laws this is I just don't keep. And causing problems and issues that way. Of course, I'm kind of waiting to hear back from the present owners of that 80 acres, the Rush family, which I actually, I have to say that we're probably more acquaintances than anything else. The Rush family went to school at Grady, and I went to school at Grady for sixth grade, and one of the Rush kids I went to, it was actually in my class. Much better basketball player than I ever could be. And basketball was what Grady did, you know. And so I'm sure I was pretty much the guy who was like, I don't remember you. I didn't care about you. You were this weird, bizarre fella. And you go, yeah, that was me. Anyway, so... Oh, we've got some traffic on the road today. But I'm just about ready to get off the main road here. I know people would go, this is a main road? You go, compared to the ones I go down? Oh, yeah, this thing is like the Autobahn, man, comparatively. I don't have to go down dirt roads anymore, although I have lots of experience doing so. And relatively quiet shot from where I live over to Cannon Air Force Base. Oh, here we go. Da, 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 da. Turn onto the Melrose Highway and headed to Weber City, which is nothing now. Grady at least has a school, or it would probably be nothing. And of course, Broadview, which is a little bump in the road, but it's still a place too. I don't think it qualifies as a village. I think Grady is an actual incorporated locality. And of course they've got the school there. I don't know how many kids they have these days. When I went there, it was probably about 120, maybe 120 kids. That's from K through 12. I know this is totally outside of the realm of whatever. It's probably really good for me, who really needed kind of a tighter, smaller group and something like that. Anyway, so turn down this cooler. I'm going to open the windows a little bit, turn this off. A little too cold. Anyway, yeah. KTNM and the other radio station, the FM station, KQAY, which has the kind of music I like, kind of 70s, 80s music, now called oldies. Back when I was a kid, the oldies was music from the 50s and the 60s. Now I've graduated up to being called classic rock. Anyway, so there's two radio stations in town. KTNM is country music. I would have to say that KQAY tries to style itself for probably more the traveler set. I would call it tourist, but that's not what it is. It's travelers. Tucumcari is a traveler's town now because of Route 66 and Interstate 40. And of course, the fact that the railroad just cooks through hooks through Tucumcari. I don't think there's actually any work happening on the railroad out of Tucumcari. There used to be, this used to be a division point and a bit of a roundhouse at one time. That's long gone now. If you look over the eastern side of Tucumcari on a map, you can see a lot of the older things. Tucumcari became a big transfer point for a place called Dawson, far, far north of here. And Dawson was really big on coal, huge coal mine. As far as I know, the coal's still there. The problem with it was that it was extremely dangerous. Dawson was quite a big town. I think it got as big as 9,000 people all around the coal mine that was happening there. They had a couple of big, huge fires there. And by, I think, like the 1950s, Dawson was pretty much shutting down. And all of the coal at that time used to come down from Dawson to Tucumcari and then to points further on. And that, I think that was one of the big reasons why I don't have to go so darn fast. 55 is perfectly adequate, and it is the speed limit here. Although nobody obeys it, good gravy. It's a silly speed limit here. Anyway, then Dawson kind of became it kind of got connected up to the tracks that Amtrak uses now. Between Albuquerque and, ultimately I think it ends up in Chicago. But, Las Vegas had a station on that line where you can still get Amtrak there. It does make a stop in Las Vegas. I forget what the line's called, something. I don't know, Great Southwest, something like that. Who knows? I'd have to look it up one day. Anyway, and that was one of Tucumcari's big things. It was a route for the trains coming from Dawson to everywhere else, just loaded with coal. And those were the beginnings. That was the founding of the, I don't know if Roy's a town or a city, and the village of Mascaro up in Harding County. Those were both along that railroad route. And you had to have stops along the line to handle water back in the days when these things mostly ran off of steam. It came off usually coal. In our case, coal actually ran the things before there was diesel, and diesel didn't use steam. So with the advent of diesel, you didn't need these stops like Mascaro and places like that. The actual line, there's still a good railroad bridge at Logan for going over the Canadian River. As far as I'm aware of, I'll have to look back at the maps. And these things can still somewhat be seen, like I said, if you look on Google Maps or Google Earth, you can still see these things from the satellite pictures. You can still see rail, even though they're not being used anymore. And most of it's been taken up, I guess, at least from the old pictures. You can still see it. I always thought rails and trails would be fun here. Because of that rail line would be an interesting travel, but it's not there anymore. I go by I go on a back road when I go between Tucumcari, or mostly Logan, and Mascaro. I take the old Trig Road, and part of the Trig Road is that rail bed. It's up high. It's kind of cool. It's all dirt and cinder now. Although that thing was mostly cinder. Once they took up the actual rails, and you go along this rail bed, and it's really kind of cool. I don't know if it joined up with the rail line at Logan. To my knowledge, it did not. There was an actual rail line that went north out of Tucumcari and made a pretty straight, decently straight line, well, as straight as they get, going to Mascaro. And then from Mascaro to Roy, and then from Roy on, and it kind of cut across different land. I'm trying to think. It didn't. I don't think it went through Wagon Mouth. No, it didn't. I don't know what location there along probably Interstate 25, which used to be old U.S. Highway 85. Which was basically along a railroad crossing. You just have to know that that many roads were old rail lines. Now some roads that didn't have rail on them. I don't think like the road that I am on was ever a rail situation. These probably originated from cattle trails, to be honest. So, that's kind of how you can look at that. Anyway, Guy, I was starting on radio. I needed to stay on radio. When I came up with the whole idea of Wilfordia, which was kind of a place where I think the Liberty and the Constitution hold sway, was based on what was perceived to be the KTNM broadcast range. And I dubbed it Wilfornia, named it after Wilford Brimley, who has since passed away. There was actually a movie, not very popular movie at all. What's it called? What about the Morgans? And part of it was filmed in Roy, New Mexico. They temporarily renamed the place Ray because they decided it needed to be Ray, Wyoming. But they actually filmed at least exteriors in Roy. And I guess that's kind of what triggered it for me. And I kind of like Wilford Brimley's mindset. He was a kid that grew up a Latter-day Saint. went to church from Utah, southern Utah. Kind of a cowboy stuntman fella who actually became really good friends with Robert Duvall, who got him into, who kind of helped him get into acting a bit. And, anyway, so I had to name this place, this location after something, so I called it Wilfornia. You can go on the website, quix.us, which is where you're going to have to go to get a lot of these recordings, to be honest. Not really, though. This is on archive.org. And, you can go to quix.us, and there's a little listing down the signpost. There's this big signpost, and it's got all these different places you can go to, and one of them is Wilfornia, and it talks about this region, and pardon me. Anyway. So, you got to know something about radio to begin with. Most radio towers that you see are actually AM radio, or they were AM radio towers. And when most radio stations went to FM, because the sound quality was better, especially for music, and that's why talk radio. Eventually, became the realm of AM stations because, the sound quality didn't have to be that good or as good. You could do okay being an AM station with talkers because, you could tune your signal to just handling voice better. And of course, the old time radio. I've always enjoyed the old time radio shows. And, although I can't say I've listened to them lately, I need to actually cut this thing off early because I have not listened to, my conference, talk this morning. And I need to do that. Well, anyway, so. Talk radio has morphed into podcasting, and that's, which is great. That's where these things kind of need to go to, and that's why I'm glad I've got my archive.org thing, because that would be where I would run a podcast out of. Is out of there. My own server would house the RSS feed, but the actual sound files would be on archive.org, just like they are now. As long as archive.org is going to exist, that's another tricky thing that's kind of looking to go down. Is the fact that they're kind of running into some copyright issues, which I think is hilarious because most of the copyright is gone. Most of old time radio is brought up because nobody asserted any copyright back when you had to take the time and register things as copyrightable works. So they just didn't because it was too ephemeral. And they all said, you know, surely nobody would care to listen to an older radio program. Although many people would actually, when the time came that you could record these things, would actually record them. You used to have to record them on wire, magnetized wire. Then it got to magnetized tape, and that's pretty much where it went. Now they've been, a lot of them been rendered into MP3 files. And these guys would record them for, be recorded for broadcast, on the two sides of America. America's mostly, two coasts. It's still basically true, and not much in between. There are a few things in between now, but nothing compared to the East Coast, for instance, or the West Coast, to be honest. Much more people, which means a better market for things if you're going to do commercial radio. Anyway, so what's another big, anyway, so yeah, I was looking at KTNM, which is actually now owned, both the radio stations in Tucumcari are owned out of a broadcast group centered around Roswell. I don't know why they bought these little stations in Tucumcari. Probably because they were cheap. And it's kind of a closed up little audience, you know. The trade area is probably only 6,000 or 7,000 people at the most. And there was something to be said I really don't know how the radio business works. I was always more interested in actually the mechanics of it, not really on the business part of it. I sold airtime for radio for a few months after I finished my associate's degree, before I went back to school, and anyway. I used to work for KTQM and KQAY. No, not KQAY. KTQM in Clovis, which was KWKA, was the AM side of it. And that was always kind of the, you know, there was more of a programmed, kind of almost automated radio station, which almost every FM station now is mostly automated. And, you know, it just gets piped in from somewhere. You actually buy a feed and there's a whole thing. And you do the advertising on it. It's all set up with advertising blocks between songs. Or amongst songs, although many people have kind of gotten into, many of the stations got into, you know, hey, here's a whole half hour, ad free. And they would do that. And of course, you know, you would get more listeners that way, but you could charge a little more for the advertising between those blocks. So I guess I do know a little bit about the business. I didn't last very long because it just wasn't my dream to sell advertising. That didn't, you know, I'm just not that guy. You know, you say, oh, you can become that guy. And you go, yeah, but I don't want to become that guy. It suited my dad, I think, pretty well to be a salesman, but he sold a product. He sold copiers. Well, at first he sold vacuum cleaners and sewing machines. And, he actually learned most of his sales prowess from Sears, Roebuck and Company. Cause that's what he did after we moved to Clovis, New Mexico. He got a job as a salesman for that department. And then he got an offer to do sales for a local place in Clovis doing copiers. And then he got bigger and bigger. And then ultimately that got bought out by a couple of companies. And he became the title president of an offshoot of a larger company. And we moved to Lubbock, Texas. And Dad did pretty good. I don't think he really liked the corporate side of things. You know, when you're the president of something, it says, oh, it's mostly being the sales manager and trying to enthuse other salesmen. So he was trying to pass along the things that he had learned about sales from his experience. Before then, he was an airline mechanic working the midnight shift, which is when you do most of your mechanic work, is at midnight, for Continental Airlines out in Los Angeles, California, LAX. Anyway, my dad decided he didn't want to be a mechanic for the rest of his life. But he did it for a while. He did it for several years. That was what he was trained to do in the military. He was in the Air Force. He was trained to be a military mechanic, an aircraft mechanic. Anyway, so, and then he became a salesman. That's what brought us back out here. Well, no, he was just wanting to get away from California. Anyway, so, I'd have to talk to Dad about all that stuff. But he got these wonderful opportunities. And let me tell you, the man is blessed. Good things happened to my dad. And of course, we traveled with him. You know, I was a kid. You move with your parents. And this and that happened. Dad eventually did his own copier sales business. That was the business he had been in for a while. And when the bigger company that he had worked for a long time fell apart, Dad bought up one of the territories up in Farmington, New Mexico. And he was up in Farmington for a long time. I don't know how long time it was, but anyway. And most of his life he sold copiers. He sold some other stuff too. You know, when technology changed, copiers are still kind of a thing, but not really as big a thing as it was, you know. It got to being printers and things like that, but printers weren't things that you actually bought got sold by a store to do things. And you weren't churning out so much paper anymore. I don't think people talk about, oh, it's still paper, paper, paper. And you go, no, it's not really that much. It's much as it once was. Anyway, so I don't know how I got into that except for radio. Yeah, the place down in Roswell, picked up the radio stations in Tucumcari. I don't know how much an AM radio station, basically out in the middle of a cornfield type of thing, with no trade area particularly, I don't know how much that would sell for. I really don't. Like I said, most likely have to make some kind of a deal with the guys who wanted to hang on to the FM station, which is the thing that probably makes the most money. Although, can I tell you, I don't know. That's a sales thing. I don't know about that sales business. That's kind of an interesting, market to begin with. So if National Public Radio wasn't so politically controlled, it might be an interesting thing to glom onto. But Tucumcari has already got National Public Radio. So you wouldn't want to be connected to that. I would be far more interested in things, you know, because I'm kind of an offbeat guy by nature to begin with. So, I would wonder how much they would pay for that. You know, those guys say, well, these things aren't for sale. And you go, you know what, as far as I'm aware of, everything is for sale. So, yeah, old AM radio towers are mostly just radio towers for other things. You still put AM through them, but then you hang your FM station antenna off of the AM station antenna. That makes FM somewhat directional because of how you normally place it. But anyway, yeah, it would be the larger question of, even though the actual license is for a 10,000 watt station around the clock, would you get it? Would it be on there? Because, you know, this is, I have called an engineer. And most of my responsibilities lately for money have been engineering based, although more computer. But computers and radio have always been somewhat tied together. Anyway, so I would be interested to hear how far these radio stations actually got. You know, it may not be a bad idea to listen for it now, even though I'm quite far away, because, it's not much static. I don't have it turned up too high. This is supposed to be in its fringe range. Mostly it's Coy County. It really does cover Coy County pretty good. I don't know how the FM does here. There is that. Maybe I'll do a little bit if other things don't come up. Maybe I'll keep an eye on AM stuff and see what radio stations are for sale. I'm sure that the radio station Tucumcari got picked up primarily for the FM station. Like I said, you know, it's just, they've just been tied together, and I think they actually are tied together. I don't know where the AM transmitter antenna is. I'm sure it's on 23 Mountain. You know, that little place where I'm at Raglan would be a fantastic place to put up an AM transmitter, but you have to go through all the garbage, all the construction permits and stuff like that. And, but that would be something of a possibility. Although, you know, this is, the higher up you get, an AM station, the better range it can get. FM is really shorter range. And, you can dump a lot of power into it, but I don't think that really equates into long distance. That really equates into a clear signal when you're doing frequency modulation as opposed to amplitude modulation. I like AM because it's simple. It's a simple, simple system. You know, you just modulate sound on top of a carrier wave, and that, my friends, is AM radio. Well, something that you can rig with a couple of tubes and off you run. Now, you know, you want to do it right, but that's where these things come from. the biggest thing, the biggest price to all this is that you want to get an established radio station with a good, you know, that has already been licensed. Licensing, you hang with licensing, you do okay. And, I love the old TV show WKRP in Cincinnati. That's all about all the stuff around a radio station. I always thought that that WKRP should have hung with being, it seems like they always hung with rock and roll, and you go, they should have gone to talk soon after that. But that really didn't become that big of a thing at the time. I forget when WKRP came out, the very early 80s, back when I was a teenager. So, I don't know. Anyway, nothing going on that station. Turn that thing off. No point listening to nothing. And that's what it is out here. It's a whole bunch of nothing. I think they've tuned down, even though it's licensed for 10,000 watts, I don't think they're putting out 10,000 watts. I think they're putting out something substantially less, probably just to save money. Electricity costs would be rather large on this kind of stuff. And I remember, how long ago was it? It wasn't too long ago. I used to have a homemade AM transmitter. It's something that couldn't transmit more than inside your house. And I've always run radio stations at home, or I always did. I stopped. I'm trying to remember when I last did that. It was when we were in Portales. I had the little radio station at the house, and did some podcasts, did some old-time radio. It was mostly for us waking up. We used to wake up I would get news from a couple of different feeds. I got from the BBC, and we would listen to that. And then there would usually be a conference talk in there. I used to cut the conference talks into little pieces, and you would, and it was kind of on. It wasn't even on a rotation; it was random, and that was interesting because you would randomly get. Sometimes get a lot of the same talks, and it seemed like God was talking to us because God can control random things. Now, the devil can control random things, too. But if you only do good things, he tends to stay away from that. So as long as you don't do evil stuff. And, of course, we had a live feed Alex Jones. Alex Jones was really, really kind of a good thing. And I don't know, if you don't advertise it, nobody knows it's there. And people don't just usually, can I tell you how unadventurous people are? People are so unadventurous. I go out and do this. And you go, that's okay, whatever. Like skydiving, and they call that adventure. And you go, no, it's going out and listening to, or going out and trying to find different things. People kind of zone in on what they like. They aren't very inquisitive. I used to do some shortwave listening too, but I found I just didn't have time for it. I was too busy doing other things. Except to listen to the stuff as background noise. And you could still get pretty good shortwave from a lot of different places, but, you know, I just don't have time to stop and listen to that. Back in the old days, you kind of had to, you know. Television programs were not on demand as you can kind of get them now. And almost my destination is going 6:30 in the morning. What am I doing here so early? Ugh. This is when I got up. Well, really not much to do. Gas prices were $2.71 in 2003. That's an awfully good price. And I can't, you know, am I really venturing around here? Nope. So I can't say much either. But I tend to explore. There's still places, there's still things to do, to explore. Radio is one of them, and I have always enjoyed, you know, when I was traveling late at night or something, you would turn on the radio and you could pick up stations. I used to work nights, especially in college, and I would pick up different stations and listen to different things. I actually got kind of turned on to Alex Jones, years ago when I would go and I would camp out, when I was doing traveling. And, he was broadcasting on shortwave back then. I don't even know if that shortwave station even exists anymore. There's only a few shortwave stations left in the United States. A lot of them have gone kind of religious. But Alex Jones was on one of those shortwave stations. I don't know if he still is anymore. But that's where I connected with Alex Jones. That was before, guy, I think that was probably, that was after 9/11. And that was really something that really made Alex Jones kind of an interesting thing, was the fact that Alex, he pretty much predicted 9/11, that it would happen. And he says, I'm not prophetic. I just, you know, I was just watching all the tea leaves. And he says, I still do that. And so says, if you're going to know what's going down, listen to Alex Jones. He'll tell you what's going on. Anyway, so there are my dear friends. Is that. So here I am at the front gate. Oh my gosh, it's already time. Well, this has been Jason Nemrod. You have listened to, I was all over the place, but this is Radio Thoughts, Cohen Meander. Talk to you later.